Welcome to my Blog Talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer-songwriter, and the author of a book titled The Art of Living a Life You Love. I am excited to have Mary Shores, new Hay House author of Conscious Communications, as my guest for today. So please join us for a conversation about conscious conversations. Welcome, Mary.
Hey, Margot. I'm so excited to be here. I love your show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I was really happy to hear about you from when your assistant had emailed me and asked about you being on my show. And I hadn't heard of you before that. I know that you're a new Hay House author, which is really exciting. And I loved the topic, the title of your book, Conscious Communications, because communications, I feel, are the most important ways to have a joyful and happy and successful life. And so this is, and to have it be conscious communications, that really got me curious. So I was really, really looking forward to looking at your book, and I haven't read it cover to cover yet, but I've been skipping around in it and just really, really enjoying it.
Yeah, the feedback from the book so far has been great. I'm actually happy to share with you that just in the last 24 hours, we hit our first like Amazon bestseller status, so that's extremely exciting. And I actually got a message from someone in South Africa, Margot. This woman, it was like I was sitting home Sunday evening talking to my son, and I get a message on LinkedIn. It's a woman from Cape Town, South Africa. She said that she found my book in a little bookstore in their hometown, and she bought the book, and she loves it. And she was sending me this thank you note. And I thought, how incredible is that, that I wrote this book, and Hay House published it, and on another continent across the globe, a woman picked it up, and she's reading it, and it's affecting her. It's just incredible.
You know what? You're making me cry. I mean, that is just so cool. I mean, I've always loved books. Books have always been one of my favorite things, and it's just amazing how a book, like you said, can be anywhere in the world and can help someone with what you've learned through your life. You know, I mean, that is so cool.
Yeah, and I've totally learned a lot.
Oh, I know. Let's start a little bit with how you got involved in doing this, because in your bio it talks about words that work. I'd like to talk about that a little bit first. Tell our audience a little bit about words that work and how that got you started on this pathway to becoming a Hay House author.
Okay, this is going to be a really weird story, and
okay.
Everyone thinks they've heard the stories, and they've heard it all. You've never heard this.
Okay.
So I am probably the only person on the planet who's a Hay House author, a thought leader, and personal development specialist that got their start by owning and operating a debt collection agency. So,
okay.
You know, that's not really what you think about when you think about positivity, now is it?
No, but tell us more.
The words that work, you know, right away, I was the youngest person in the world to open a collection agency. I was only 24 years old. But I never wanted to use the tactics that were being used in the collections industry. And so this was in the late 90s. And, you know, really the other collectors were doing everything they could to scare, intimidate, and shame people into paying a debt. And my thought process was, I want to sell the person on the idea of paying the debt. That eventually evolved, and as I began to learn more and more about my trade, I really understood that certain words were triggering people's nervous system in their fight or flight. And I just made it my mission that I wanted people to feel good about paying their debt, because having a debt is a burden. It's a psychological burden that stops people from reaching their dreams. They won't apply for a mortgage. They won't apply for a job, and they won't even date the same person, because deep down inside, they feel so much unworthiness that they're stuck. And the The second part of this is that the way that I did it was I literally just looked at the phone one day and I said, I want the next person who calls to be happier at the end of the call than they were at the beginning. Because I noticed how it seemed like every time I called some customer service, like for, I don't know, the hospital or my cell phone or the cable bill, I got anything but service, and they definitely were not customer friendly. So I just started asking myself, like, I wonder what would happen if people were happier at the end of the call than they were at the beginning of the call. And so that's the true story about how Words That Work was born. And I started training on that through seminars for about probably 5 years before I got the idea for truly just it was in my heart to write this book, which is not about collections, y'all. Just want to say that.
No, it's not. But, you know, but the story of that, and I just love that, what you said about wanting people to feel happier at the end of the call. I mean, it's so simple, and yeah, and something that we could all put into practice, I think, in whatever work we're doing, or even in our personal life, to the idea of wanting people to feel happier at the end of the call. What a great idea.
It worked, and, you know, I studied neuroscience for years, so I actually, you know, not only did I just know that it worked, but I know why it works scientifically. And I started going on this spiritual path years ago, and I'll tell you what, I was so scared. I was having one of these existential crises. I mean, it's so cool when you have your existential crisis in life. Like, I was wondering when mine was ever going to happen to me. And it did, because I thought, how am I going to go down this path and be a debt collector? Because, you know, like, what am I thought I was going to have to give up my career. And I was totally terrified. And what I realized was that we're all born with gifts and talents. And I know that your show is a musical show, and so you're used to dealing with creatives that are talented. But we all have these talents. We all have these gifts. And everything today seems to be about finding your purpose in life. Well, when you figure out what your gifts are, which is easy to do, by the way, and you apply that to whatever your job is, whether you have a J-O-B or you're an entrepreneur or you're a teacher or you're a songwriter or whatever you are, when you apply your gifts to that job, you will certainly find your path to serve the world. And in that moment, it doesn't matter if your job is, you know, like mine, a debt collector.
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people think that my show is mostly about people that do music because of being called Live Your Music. But the story behind that is actually, I named it Live Your Music because of Wayne Dyer, and he always said, don't die with your music still in you. And I thought, how can I say that without the don't and without the die, speaking of words to get rid of? You know, I wanted to get rid of don't, and I wanted to get rid of die, and I thought, oh, live your music. So it's about people doing exactly what you just described. In other words, doing what they feel called to do that can help other people and also help them feel happier also because of the fact that they're doing what they feel called to do. So yeah, that's why you're so perfect to have on this show, is because you are doing that. You're living your music.
And well, and what you just said is perfect. I've got, like, two huge thoughts that came to me from that. Number one, I mean, first of all, Wayne Dyer as your inspiration, that's so perfect because Louise Hay is my inspiration. And,
oh,
you know,
me
those
too.
Those two are the soul buddies, you know. But so what you just said is exactly how Words That Work works. So you eliminated the negative language, don't die. Those mm-hmm. are two negative words, and you just replace them by saying the opposite and got your message, and it's perfect. That's really the truth about how Words That Work, my training system, works. But with, you know, in conscious communications, I take it so much deeper than that, because if we think about these words and how they mm-hmm. affect us, because just like you, you know, I had a dream. Just like a lot of people on your show, I had a dream, and that dream was I wanted to write a book. And for 10 years, I would walk around, and I must have said it to everyone, even though I didn't know I was saying this to people. It was very involuntary speech, but I was mm-hmm. saying, I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer. And here's the thing, Margot, that the words you speak are a mirror to your subconscious programming. And what I mean by that is that the words, I want to write a book, were so deep inside my subconscious programming that it was almost as if you could see it written on my soul.
Mm-hmm.
But the words, I'm not a writer, were not in alignment with that. And the words, I'm not a writer, were also a mirror to my subconscious programming. And what that was revealing to me is that somewhere deep down inside, I did not believe in myself. I had a belief system that probably was, I don't even know what it was, but it was probably something like, you have to have a PhD to write a book, or, you know, you have to have connections in the publishing industry, which I had zero.
Mm-hmm.
Or you had to be, like, super smart when it came to things like grammar. And what I came to learn was that as long as my mantra was, I'm not a writer, then I was never going to write a paragraph, a blog, an article, let alone an entire book. And so my first steps were I had to take a step in the direction of changing that belief.
Hmm. True. And, you know, an interesting thing that you said, too, you say that again. It was, I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer. Is that what it was?
Yes. That was my mantra for years.
Okay, well, the other interesting thing I've learned in Toastmasters that's so important is that when you say but, it negates the things before it. So you were kind of doing a double negative there in that you were saying, I want to write a book, but I'm not a writer.
Yeah, and that's true in everything in life. You know, like if I say, Margo, I love your show, but... You know, it's the same thing.
Exactly. That's why I learned it is because, yeah, in evaluations, you never say a but. You say and. I love your show and.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, that's, but speaking of buts, get back to this whole thing about I'm not a writer and changing that. So how did you change that for yourself?
Well, I mean, I had to take a step in a new direction, and that step was to go to a writer's workshop. And I went to a writer's workshop at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, and it's a 500-acre retreat center. It was just perfect for me. And, you know, they have a spa and just a beautiful environment. But the first time I went to a writer's workshop, you know, I still was coming from a place of not really empowering my dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember how intimidated I was because the person teaching the workshop was Cheryl Strayed, and she's a best-selling author of many books. And all the people that were taking the class were already writers. They were screenwriters. They were novelists. They were bloggers. And here I was, not any of those things. But by the end of the week, I mean, I was so far out of my comfort zone. By the end of the week, I wrote something. And I wrote something that was really good. In fact, it was so good that several of the people in the class came up to me and wanted to feature what I had written either in their books or on their blogs.
That is major exciting. That is so cool. What a great story.
Thank you. But you see how it started to carve out a new belief?
Right, you know? Right. And I guess part of it's interesting. I like your email newsletters. I signed up for those after I had you coming on the show. And you had one, I think it was yesterday, actually, 5 Mistakes That Keep You Stuck. And I thought those were really important, too. And in case you don't remember what they are offhand, I have them down here. It's one, you don't feel worthy or able. Two, you're afraid of failure. Three, you have perceived limitations. Four, you don't know where to start. And five, you don't make this goal a priority. So that kind of ties right in with what we're talking here about. First of all, you have to feel worthy, and then you have to get over that fear of failure and try something. Right?
Yeah, and thank you so much for checking out the newsletter. I love this newsletter. So what you'll look forward to by having that Fearless Ambition newsletter is every week we send out a personal development article with a coaching exercise, and you'll get a free download. Now, I know this week we did a quiz, but the one you get next week, and if you look in the archives, there's always a free downloadable worksheet so that you can actually go through the suggestions that I give in the newsletter.
I was going to do it later, but why don't you give your website address where they can sign up for your newsletter while we're talking about that right now?
Sure. That's maryshores.com, and there should be several different ways there on the website that lead you to sign up for the newsletter.
Okay, cool. And I noticed that you add all sorts of other social media that people can follow you on, Facebook and Twitter and probably Instagram and all those things. And those are probably also on your website as well, right?
Yes, you can find me anywhere on the internet under the name Mary, M-A-R-Y, Shores, S-H-O-R-E-S.
Cool. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what does keep people stuck and how they can get unstuck.
Okay. So when you set a goal, then there's certain actions you can take. And I would start this off by saying that we all have this idea that we can reach our highest potential, and that we have infinite possibilities available to us.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a difference between something being possible and something being probable. And so in order to make something more of a probability, we really have to break through the barriers. And that stuck feeling is the barrier you need to break through, whatever it is. And it's different for every single person. You know, some people it's a lack of money. Some people it's a lack of belief in themselves. Some people think that you have to have an education. You know, so you have to understand that for every single one of you, it's going to be a different obstacle or a different barrier, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because the action to get yourself past it is always the same, and that is to take one new step in the direction that you want to go. So if it's education, what can you do to educate yourself? Like, I went to the writer's workshop because, you know what? Sometimes it's not just being stuck. Sometimes it's true. I didn't possess the skills that I was going to need to write a book. I needed to learn some of those skills. I learned things like how to create word tension, how to tell stories through using talismans. These are real skills that I learned by signing up for a workshop that cost me $400.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to go to a beautiful place to do it. So where can you educate yourself? You know, how can you get the skills you need? If it's money, don't make the assumption that you can't get approved for a loan, because people assume that all the time, when the truth is it's really not that difficult to get financing. And even if you apply and you get denied, at least then you have the opportunity to have a conversation with the banker to say, what do I need to do to get approved? And then you've got action steps you can follow. But staying in that stuck place, yeah, staying in that stuck place isn't going to make anything happen.
Yeah,
being stuck.
And I think
procrastination.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that what I found for me too is ties in with what you're saying, is to take baby steps. In other words, you know, at least in the direction, and then to learn from each one of those steps, and then go on and take another one and another one and another one, and eventually that also starts to change what your beliefs are. And you talk about barrier beliefs in your book, and maybe you could talk about those just a little bit.
Well, barrier beliefs are the things, the programming that's in your subconscious mind that is really the things that are keeping you stuck. So, like, you know, I talked about mine saying I'm not a writer. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of time people spend a lot of money and a lot of years in therapy to try to pinpoint the moment that their second grade teacher gave them an F on a paper or something that they really felt was the cat's pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really think, I think that the important thing is not necessarily tracing back where something came from, but mm-hmm. understanding that if you have a desire to do something, you've got to break through by, there's a few steps you can take. Number one is you have to loosen the grip on the stories from your past.
Mm.
Because, you know, telling these stories, and we all have our tragic stories, as well as I do. I mean, I really, really do. And if you look in my book at all, you'll see some of these
mm-hmm.
things.
True. You're right.
But if you look at where I am today, you would never believe that I was out on my own at 16 or that I had a child with profound brain damage or lived through, you know, a very nasty divorce, because what people see now as my image is a very successful entrepreneur who has now written a book and public speaks. That's like become my identity. The stories
right.
you tell yourself about yourself, the words you use become your identity, because the words you use are a feedback loop from your conscious mind to your subconscious mind, and it's how you program yourself. So when you loosen the grip from the stories of your past, and I'm not suggesting that these stories are not important, but what I'm suggesting is that you focus more on the fact that you got over them. You focus more on the triumph
mm-hmm.
of what you learned, and you tell that story, because the beautiful part of your story is in the moment when you were truly able to move on.
Wow, that is so true. You know, I wanted to make sure that we have time to talk about also, especially real important, the words that you say not to use or to get out of your language. I'm not even really sure how we want to word that one, but the words not to use, you talked about that in the beginning of your book.
Well, we call it a do not say list.
Mm-hmm.
I think that might be what the term you're searching for.
Mary?
So, yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I thought for a second I thought I lost you. Okay, a do not say list.
Yeah, so the do not say list, I mean, it's basically just like what you did when you took Wayne Dyer's message of don't die with your dreams still inside of you or
don't
something like that.
Don't die with your music still in you, yeah.
Okay, and then you just flipped the script and you took out the negative words. And so for me, like the words I'm not a writer or but I'm not a writer have a negative programming effect in my mind. So I'm not the type of person that can just jump and say I'm a writer. So I didn't walk around saying I'm a writer, I'm a writer, I'm a writer, because
mm-hmm.
that would not have felt congruent with my truth. But
right.
what I can say is that I have a story to tell. Every day in every way, I'm learning how to tell my story.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
So
that's great.
That's what you do. So for a year, I wrote a page of affirmations a day. So I literally have thousands of affirmations. But
I've noticed.
You know,
I've noticed that you do have a lot of good affirmations. And just for the listeners, the do not say list includes 6 words. It's no, not, can't, won't, however, and unfortunately. So those are all words that we need to pay attention to and get out of our communications, be more conscious about the communications. That's such an incredibly important part about it, is being conscious and not just communicating with ourselves, excuse me, and other people in an unconscious way or just a habitual way. So that's one of the things I love about the title of your book and the book itself, is that it's about being conscious of your communications in all ways.
Sure. Thank you for that. That's very sweet of you to say.
Well, it's just true. You know, I mean, I see so many people go around making unconscious choices and communicating in an unconscious way. I mean, they're talking to themselves in unconscious ways. And as a coach, that's one of the things I work with people on, is to start getting more conscious of how they're talking to themselves and other people. Because especially like you were saying, the self-talk, if you're telling yourself really bad things about yourself or saying, oh, I'm a dummy, or I can't do that, or that'll never happen for me, or whatever, you know, you have to just start getting really conscious of what you're saying and pay attention to it, and then start consciously practicing talking about it in the other way. Like you said, and affirmations are a really good way to do that, as Louise Hay always said, is to write, you know, they're all affirmations, as she said, whether it's negative or positive, but to start to come up with some positive affirmations that you want to start having in that mental loop that you were talking about in your head.
Yeah, because everything you say and every action you take, every word you speak, every choice you're making from in every thin-sliced moment of life is creating what is going to be your next reality. I mean, you're building your life at every moment.
Oh, I know. I know. Louise used to say that every thought we think is creating our reality, and it's so true. And in a way, that's kind of scary, but all we have to do is just actually stop for a second and pay attention to what we're thinking and what we're saying and what we're doing. You know, the time is just flying by, and we only have less than 4 minutes left. And so I wanted to make sure that I had time to ask the questions I like to ask for my listeners so that they can think about what music they have in them, whether what they feel called to do. So everyone listening out there, what music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And Mary, I just love that you are helping people do that.
Thank you so much.
I think it's just one of the most important things that we have in this world is to be able to enjoy life. And one of the ways that that happens is by being conscious about our communications. So your book is perfect for that, and I highly recommend that people check it out. It's on Amazon and probably, like you said, in bookstores all over the world. You can get a copy of the book, either the actual book, which I like to have the books, the real books of things like this, so that I can flip through them and I can look at certain chapters that call to me right then. And that's one of the reasons I recommend people get mine in the real book version, is so that they can flip through it and write notes in it. And that's, to me, the best way to learn.
Yeah, I agree. So you can get the paperback version of the book on Amazon. It's called Conscious Communications by Mary Shores, and it's got a beautiful color. You'll probably fall in love just as soon as you see the cover. It actually just went on Kindle. The Kindle version's on sale right now for just $2.99. But
awesome.
anybody that buys the book, we do have a free offer to get our 36-page companion journal, because the book is filled with journaling exercises. There's a coaching exercise at the end of every chapter. And so having the guide journal helps you to keep your place, you know, because it's got the page numbers that you can refer to. That way you don't have to necessarily write up in your book. And so I'm sure we've given you the link for that, Margo, but people can also find it in my coaching group on Facebook. It's called Fearless Ambition. We'd love for you to join that group.
Oh, that sounds great. Yes, I think I probably already joined it, but if I haven't, I will.
Yay! It'll be fun to have you in the group.
Well, thank you so much, Mary, for being on our show and for all you're doing to help there be more conscious communications around the world. It's a wonderful way to help make the world a better place. Thank you again, everyone, for listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone, for living your music, because it's like Mary said, it's a way to help make the world a happier place. place for all of us. So thank you, Mary. And
okay,
bye
great.
For now.
I hope that went okay for you. I'm so sorry again about being late.
Bye,
I know
bye,
exactly
bye
that tense
now.
Feeling you
wait,
went through.
We're still alive. So anyway, bye for now, everyone.